Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic state of Turner. Congregation now is out the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July 6, 2025, or it is the 12th day of the 4th lunar month of 2029. We will start our service today with timely greetings. Number 41 by the Vicky Hollis. That's going to be entitled Current Events, the Palestine Situation, and How Close the Separation of That Which Is to Be During the Time of the End. We're going to just go right on into the study. November 6, 1948, by V.T. Holland. He said, I have been asked to give a study on the current events on the Palestine situation and on the separation caused by the slaughter that is forecast in Ezekiel's vision. I wish that I could tell you all you want to know, but I cannot say how soon the separation, the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church will take place. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80, Ellen G. White's comment. For the Yahweh alone knows the time. All I know is that it cannot take place before we prepare the way before our Yahweh. Given work is in the connection with the Ezekiel 9 is done. Then it will come to pass that the Yahweh will suddenly come, that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will suddenly come to his temple, that's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and purify the sons of Levi, that's the 144,000, first fruits harvest out of the Adventist Church, by the Yahshua himself, that is sent from heaven by his Father to sit upon the throne of David, which is in the Adventist Church. Malachi 3:1-3. That those who receive not the mark will fall under the slaughter weapons of the angel, as did the unfaithful firstborn in the night of the Passover in the land of Egypt. I am, however, certain that the Yahweh will not keep us ignorant of the things we ought to know if it becomes necessary for us to know ahead of the time of the day and hour of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. At the end of typical Passover, we will be told, yes, we shall know at least as much in the advance as Moses knew about the Passover in his day. He did not know months ahead of the day and hour of the events that were then to take place, that he was instructed of his and of the people's duties and of what to expect from a day to day. Neither did he know beforehand that they were to come up against the Red Sea, but as a cloud led them there, and as the Egyptians followed close behind, he was then told what to do. Moreover, at the time that they crossed the Red Sea, he did not know that they were to spend 40 years in the desert, nor that the grown-ups among them were to perish while on their journey to the promised land. Thus must it be today, because the secret things belong unto the Yahweh, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and unto our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, Deuteronomy 29:29. For Yahweh knows how to lead and how to save. I cannot therefore give you light beyond what the inspiration makes known. I can only speak of the things that are revealed. The most exciting event, current event, that we know of is that the presidential election, which stands only 2 days in the future, as the nation sees it, this is now the biggest thing in the world, even though many will not get what they want, for each one of the different parties has named its own nominee on the presidential ballot, that only one president is to be elected. All seem to think that peace and prosperity depend upon the man they put in the White House, upon the authority of the word, though I stand to tell you that regardless of who is put into the office, there will be no peace and desirable lasting prosperity, for the Yahweh is left out of the plan which have been devised, although he alone can give what we are after. And now, how may we know that the Yahweh is not taken into the partnership? For the clue that he gives, the answer is this. If the Seventh-day Adventist Church members themselves leave the Yahweh out of the consideration and go unto men for the counsel instead of unto the Yahweh, then how can one expect the world to go to him? I have in my possession hundreds of the letters from our own denomination which prove this very thing. For they give me this information by the same. I never read your literature and never will, for our ministers have investigated your teaching and they have found them to be false. We have all the truth we need and nothing more. Take my name off of your mailing list. Practically all of these are brethren that are trapped by the Laodicean SDA Church, having need of nothing, idea, attempt for the refuting of the message of the present truth by the quoting from the Sister White's writing, and despite of the fact that their quotations are irrelevant to the subject and misconstrued in their own minds. All quote passages which leading brethren have commonly passed on to them in their brochures against us, and all of them sing the same Laodicean song which the leading brethren have put into their mouth. For these things again and again prove that instead of the using of their own Yahweh-given reason, the multitude are led by the minds of a few hostile brethren, passages, though such as the ones I am about to read to you, are kept away from them. Let me now read these simple and to the point lines of the inspired writ, which need no comments, introduce nothing that will cause dissension without the clear evidence that in it Yahweh is giving a special message for this time. Let beware of the rejection that which is with the truth, for the great danger with our people has been that ever depending upon men and making flesh their arm, those who have not been in the habit of the searching of the Bible for themselves, or when of the evidence, have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions that they make, and thus many will reject the very message that the Yahweh sends unto his people if these leading brethren do not accept them. No one should claim that he has all the light there is unto Yahweh's people, for the Yahweh will not tolerate this testimony to ministry. 106 and 107. We must study the truth for ourselves. No man should be relied upon to think for us, no matter who he is or in what position he may be placed. We will not look upon any man as a criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject one unto another, but at the same time we are to exercise the ability Yahweh has given us in the order to learn what is the truth. Each one of us must look unto the Yahweh for the divine enlightenment, where we must individually develop a character that will stand the test in time, or stand the test in the day of the Yahweh, or in the day of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for we must not become sit in our ideas and think that no one should interfere with our opinions. Testimonies to Ministers 109 and 110. 110. For the Yahweh wants us to depend upon Him and not upon man. For He desires us to have a new heart. He would give us revealings of light from the throne of the Yahweh. Testimonies of Ministers, page 111. Whatever may be the position of the authority, no one has a right to shut away the light from the people when a message comes in the name of the Yahweh unto his people. No one may excuse himself from an investigation of his claim. Counsels on the Sabbath School Work, page 28. There's not the Seventh Adventist denomination's perverted trend in the finding heaven revealed truth prove to you that Yahweh is left out of the consideration, that in his place are put those who are supposed to be his servant. What else can it be if man is consulted when the spirit of the Yahweh should be? Are we not told by the scriptures that the spirit himself is to lead us into vision, into all truth, that we are not to touch our arm by having someone else decide for us what is the truth and what is error. Are we not denying the Spirit and our connection with the heaven when we take a substitute and still worse? Is it to go for advice to the one who is already against what against that which you expect him to approve or disapprove? If the Yahweh can taste the chattel individually to seek water in the lower land, not on the top of the mountain and hills, and to search for a place of the warmth where the wind does not strike, then why can we not personally show us what is truth and what is error? Where the founders of the church directed in into the truth by the council of the priests and rabbis, or by the Spirit of Yahweh in their hearts? Are we not individually told, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be they are of the Yahweh? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of the Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that the Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is of the Yahweh. 1 John 4:1-2. Quench not the Spirit, despise not the proper sign, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Moreover, Amos, by the eye of the inspiration, looked down through the centuries, deep into apostolic era, and declared, Amos 1:2, for the Yahshua, or the Son of Yahweh, will roar from the Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of the Carmel shall wither. This scripture, you see, reflects the tragedy which took place on the top of the Carmel in the days of the Elijah. Here we are given the hint that there is to be another showdown between the prophet of the Yahweh and the prophets of the Baal. For the prophets of the Baal in our day even boast that they are not inspired, that what they teach and preach is what they themselves discovered by the deep study and research. They even sneer at those who claim to be inspired of the Yahweh. They seem to think that Yahweh has forsaken the earth, that Yahweh cares not to send his Spirit as in the former time, that men are now so wise that what the Spirit can do for them, they themselves can do even better. For the truth is, though, that if there ever was a need for the inspired interpreters of the scriptures, it is today, while many winds of the doctrine are blowing from all directions, bringing in a confusion dissension and disaster everywhere. No one sees eye to eye. If this sad condition, the spirit of the prophecy warns those who allow prejudice to bar the mind against the reception of the truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet, when a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true and in harmony with the Yahweh's word, but by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they and their own ideas that they will not examine the scripture evident, but the desire to learn but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. For the Yahshua often works for release of spare time. He surprises us by the revealing his power through the instruments of his own choice, while it passes by the men and to whom we have looked as those through whom light should come. For Yahweh desires us to receive the truth upon his own merit, because it is the truth. Testimonies to Ministry 105:6. For the world has never seen a more religious group nor a more praying and pious people than were the priests, scribes, and the Pharisees in the Yahshua day. Yet they were the very ones who protested against the Yahshua's teaching, who spread prejudice and confusion among the people, and who kept them in the darkness. Yes, they received a whole nation, they deceived a whole nation, finding that the Jewish Sanhedrin was not to be trusted at the Yahshua's first advent. Then how do we know that the apostolic Sanhedrin at the Yahshua's second advent is to be unquestionably correct? It was the Sanhedrin of the Middle Ages and down unto this day that have fought against any divinely led reformation. And let me read to you of that which took place in the pioneering days of the denomination. But the churches generally did not accept the warning, for their ministers who, as the watchmen unto the house of Israel, should have been the first to discern the tokens of the Yahshua's coming, had failed to learn the truth either from the testimonies of the prophets or from the signs of the times, as the worldly hopes and ambitions filled the heart. Love for the Yahweh and faith in his word had grown cold, and when the Advent doctrine was presented, it only aroused their prejudice and unbelief, for the fact that the message was, and to a great extent, preached by the layman, was urged as an argument against it. As of the old, the plain testimony of Yahweh's word was met with the inquiry, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed? And finding how difficult a task it was to refute the arguments drawn from the prophetic theories, many discouraged the study of the prophecy, teaching that the prophetic books were sealed and were not to be understood. Multitudes trusted implicitly unto their own pastors, refused to listen unto their warning, and others, though convinced of the truth, dared not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue for the message which Yahweh had sent for the testing and purification of the church, revealed all too surely how great was the number who had set their affection on this world rather than upon the Yahshua. For the ties which bound them to the earth were stronger than the attractions of heavenward, for they chose to listen to the voice of their worldly wisdom and turned away from the heart-searching message of the truth. Great Controversy, page 380. If such has been the experience of the past, and if we all have to make up our own mind for or against the Advent truth, in the opposition to the decisions of the priests and ministers in our former churches, and if this was the only method of finding the truth, then why should it not be so now? Have we now become less capable than we were before becoming Adventist? Are our prayers now failing to bring results? Has the Spirit left us, or have we turned away from Him? There is the one honest answer that can be given. For the church is drifting with the world, and she also is expecting the world's great men, not the Spirit of the Yahweh, to tell her what is the truth and what is error, and whom to put in office and whom not to. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Yahweh. Lamentations 3:40. For the idea that we as a Seventh-day Adventist have all the truth we need, that we are rich and increased with the good and the need of nothing more, is the idea with which the Sanhedrin and the Yahshua day indoctrinated the minds of the people. And unto this day, the Jewish nation has not recovered from the effects. Do not our Seventh-day Adventist brethren therefore stand in the same degenerating position of rejecting any light that Yahweh may send, if it does not agree with their idea? And even if the Yahshua himself should bring it down, and if it disagrees with theirs, could they not, like the Jews of old, be dangerously tempted to crucify him if they could? The great need for the revival and reformation, and as such being the condition of the people, revival and reformation. In our day, it says, and if such be the condition of the people in our own church, then what can be expected elsewhere? Return unto me, for why should you perish? Is the heaven's cry. These are some of the current events which show that the humanity is drifting farther and farther away from the Lord, and drawing closer and closer unto the individual self. If we take Yahweh into the partnership, we will have peace, security, and prosperity. But as it is now, we as a nation and as a people are headed for the trouble and uncertainty at home, and for war abroad, while the church sleeps on. Now, as to what I think about the Palestinian situation itself, I think the Jews need to have a place to go to, but I do not think Yahweh is leading them. If Yahweh drove the Jews from his land because of their wickedness, because he knows the longer could tolerate them, then it is certain that he is not leading them back to it now, while they are of the same mind and just as hostile against his only son as they were 2,000 years ago. For the Jews, therefore, are taking the land on their own responsibility, and when the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, end, the new state of Israel, as they call themselves, will then vacate the land much faster than they can now take it unless they take Yahweh into the land with them. So Yahweh is nevertheless to have the people there, but they will be the kind he tells of in the scriptures, some of which I shall now read. Jeremiah 30:18-22. Exodus 12:22-27. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning, for Yeshua will pass through to smite the Egyptian. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahshua will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this time for an ordinance unto thee and unto thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become into the land that the Yahshua will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahshua's Passover, to pass over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses and the people bowed their head and worshiped. Joshua 4, 5, and 7. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of Yeshua, and to the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of the Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Yeshua when it passed over the Jordan, for the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of the Israel forever. For the Yahweh we see since the memorials for the important things of life, so as to provoke inquiries, parents to do likewise, to create interest in the things they want their children to be instructed in. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is the one Yahweh, and thou shalt love the Lord Yahweh thy Yahweh with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And these words of which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest lies down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. For the important things of life should ever be held before the children, and always in an interesting way, never in a way to make them tired of religion, and never in a way that will cause a study to become a drudgery. A bad tree cannot give good fruit. Both parents and children should ever remember that the Yahweh is shining on them, and that they themselves can either build or restrict their future. This we see most notably in the following, because the work of the Yahshua was of the tremendous importance and of the great consequence. Yahweh was exceedingly particular about the percentage of the Yahshua. For this reason, he chose the lineage of the Abraham, a good tree, of the Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, David, and down to the line of the lineage unto Joseph, who became the husband of Mary, even though Joseph was to be but a foster father. Yes, sir, Yahweh was particular in choosing him. And as careful as Yahweh was about who across the front of your church should be, he was even more particular in the selection of a mother for the Yahshua. Thus Yahweh chose the Savior's mother from the line of Joseph, the son of Jacob. I do not know what was the parental lineage of the Yahshua, but on his foster father's lineage, I know from the chronology which the master gives, and his mother's lineage I know from the Moses' prophecy, which I shall now read, for Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall, for the archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of the hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Yahweh of the Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Genesis 49:22-24. Not only was Yahshua's parental lineage carefully selected, but so also has been selected the lineage of every one of Yahweh's men who were instructed with a weighty responsibility. Why I ask you, with such precautions being taken, if the parents do not bear the most important part in the life of the children. It must now be remembered then that though the child obtains his properly rounded education in the three schools, the home, the church school, and the public school, his most important school is in the home. For the child is largely what the home makes them. For the result, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh, to observe and to do all of his commandments that I command thee this day, that the Yahweh will sit thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou cometh in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Deuteronomy 28:1-6. It would do you so good if you read at home about the parents' duty and set forth in the counsels to teach it, page 158-9. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 143-4, and the children's duty in Exodus 20:12-2. Exodus 20:12. And 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, and 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. This brings to the end of our study of 2 Timely Greetings, number 40.